Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Foundations in Faith. Join Monsignor Frank Lane as he offers insights into the readings heard at Mass. And now, Foundations in Faith with Monsignor Frank Lane.
This is Father Frank Lane, and we're continuing our programs, Foundations in Faith. Today we're going to look at the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter, the first of the 10th verse. And it's the story, or it's Jesus speaking to the disciples about his being a shepherd and using the imagery of the ancient Palestinian understanding of the role of the shepherd in order to kind of explain to the crowds who he is and to what end he had come. So it begins with, Jesus said, "I tell you most solemnly, anyone who does not enter this sheepfold through the gate, but gets in some other way, is a thief and a brigand. The one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the flock. The gatekeeper lets him in. The sheep hear his voice, and one by one he calls his own sheep, and he leads them out. When he has brought out his flock, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They never follow a stranger, but they run away from him. They do not recognize the voice of strangers." So first of all, what does this imagery mean in the mind of the people to whom he is speaking, to the mind of the people who are hearing his words? And it's just simply using a common everyday reality for the ancient Palestinians, the ancient Israelites, about how the sheep are cared for and taken care of. I think that we all know that sheep are used as an example in many ways because of their total dependency. Now, there's a lot of times, I think, when people take exemption to this and they find themselves kind of insulted by this, but saying, well, you know, we're not mindless and all of this kind of thing. But we certainly are totally dependent on the living God for our very existence, for our life being sustained from day to day, and for the existence of the creation in which we live. This is one of the great goals of modern secularism, is to destroy the notion of the Creator God, in order that they can destroy the notion of dependency. And in destroying the notion of dependency, they can replace God with the human person and then reinterpret reality, reinterpret the world, and make it such that humanity is in charge of its own destiny, of its own definition, of all those kinds of things. It's an ancient, ancient ruse that they play. It's one that certainly has been with us since at least the recordings of history, when, in fact, there is always this struggle between the divine and the human. It is portrayed, of course, dramatically for us at the beginning of sacred scripture in the story of Eve in the garden, that when Eve approaches the garden, she comes close to the forbidden tree, the tree where she has the knowledge of good and evil, the only tree in the garden which she has been told she may not eat the fruit of that tree, when she encounters the serpent. The serpent, of course, then engages her in conversation. And again, temptation. As soon as we engage in conversation with our temptations, as soon as we, even if we think we're doing good by confronting them, the end of the story seems to be written. Satan then says, "Is it true that God told you you could eat none of the fruit of the trees of the garden?" And she defends the Lord. She says, "Oh no, that's not what he said. The conversation has begun. He has drawn her into conversation." And she said, "Only of this tree." And then he says, "Well, do you know why he told you not to eat this tree?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Well, let me tell you why. Because if you do, then you will be like God. Then you will know good and evil. Then you will have all knowledge," and so forth. The very first temptation that Scripture reflects upon is humanity's temptation to replace God with themselves, to be his equal, and therefore to be able to push him aside and ourselves be all-knowing and all-powerful in the order of human society and in the order of creation. So this is not something that is foreign to us. It is not something that in any way finds us alienated from the human story. Because here, what we hear now in this particular text is that Jesus says, you enter through the sheep gate, and he says, I am the sheep gate. In other words, if we are to know God at all, we must go through Jesus Christ. And therefore, if we are to know the inner structures of reality themselves, we must know the Christ, the Son. Because Jesus says to us often in the Scriptures, no one goes to the Father but through the Son. No one knows the Father but the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him, and so forth. In other words, the ultimate structures of reality are accessible only through the incarnate Word, only through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It is the only way they are known. When we try to go to ultimate realities, the Father, God, being, when we try to go there without going through Christ, we find in the Old Testament dire warnings about that. You may not touch the mountain. You have to hide your face. You may not touch the Ark of the Covenant and so forth. Because to try to go to the Father before there is the Christ is to die and to self-destruct in so many ways, unless an exception is made. And that's kind of interesting because Moses becomes the exception. Obviously, Abraham became the exception as well, especially in the visitation, that famous iconic image of the Trinity, that obviously he is visited by the Trinity in human form. But this is not an incarnation. This is part of a vision. It's part of a story of God using human imagery in order to instruct, to teach, and so forth. But unless we go to the Father through the Son, and that means through the incarnate Son, because that's all we have to go by, and that incarnate Son has revealed himself throughout the whole story of Revelation. It's interesting in John's Gospel when he is addressing the Pharisees and he identifies himself as I am. Well, I am is the name of God, and I am is the name revealed to Moses in the burning bush. So Jesus is saying to them, actually, I have always been with you, but you have not known me. So you have come to me now, you have come to me through the law and the prophets. This is what the Road to Emmaus story is all about. Jesus reveals to those companions of his on the way about how the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, refer to him throughout. And he uses, therefore, the law and the prophets to explain to the companions on the road who he is. So in some sense, then, since they have referred to the Christ, ancient Israel was able to approach the living God, the Father, because even without the consciousness of doing so, they went to him through the Word, they went to him through the Son, they went to him through the Logos. So here then, Jesus says, I tell you most solemnly, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but gets in some other way, is a thief and a brigand. Whoever therefore approaches God's people without coming through the Son is a thief and a brigand. We might want to think about the role that secular society plays in our lives today, that certainly there are those who try to take the soul of the human person and turn it away from God and toward themselves or itself. This certainly is part of the tremendous power of secularism, which uses that ancient tool of human weakness and human greatness at the same time, and that is through human sexuality to undo the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, to undo the relationship between the dependent, the one upon whom they are dependent for their very existence, and create for them the illusion of autonomy and omnipotence and omniscience and all of those kinds of things. And it becomes organized and it becomes something that is pursued and exploited by much of the modern cultural media. This certainly one of the evil players in all of this, one of the thieves and brigands, is Planned Parenthood, which intended to reorder and restructure the whole order of human creation by eliminating what to one particular segment of humanity was an annoyance, a difficulty, an obstacle to absolute and complete autonomy. But that's one of many. We see it politically, we see it in the entertainment world, we see it in the news media, we see it in all sorts of places, this constant agenda. There is no creator God. There is no order to the world in which we live. There is no natural reality which reflects the mind and the power of the living God. Destroy, 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 thieves and brigands all. And in a way, of course, this becomes the ancient struggle. This is the voice of the serpent, which speaks loudly to the bewildered and the unprepared and the naive and the unknowing Christian, to say, you know, do you know why God said you couldn't do that? It's to give patriarchy power over your bodies or over your minds and all of this. It's deceitful. It's the serpent in the garden. And we are that Eve that stands there near the possibility of redemption and hope, and are drawn deeper and deeper and deeper into the deceptions and the deceits of the evil one, the deceptions and the deceits of the secular world. That does not mean that God is not present in the secular world itself, insofar as he is present in all human persons. And so it isn't like by calling them thieves and brigands, which they are, that certainly that doesn't mean that they are demons, because their very creation is, and existence depends upon, their participation somehow in the divine being, which highlights for us and explodes for us then the deadliness of human sinfulness, which distorts the image of humanity, distorts the well-being of a society, distorts the hearts of the young and the vulnerable especially. When we want to go on to, for instance, the university campuses in the United States today, and probably in Europe as well, I don't know that. When we want to do that, and what happens then is we find basically a kind of a form of lunacy prevailing. The snowflake generation is a generation of a cowering and quivering humanity that does not know who it is and cannot deal with the reality of its own life. It is a sad thing. It's when, for instance, that the students of the university campuses and so forth simply deny reality because of their indoctrination that they have received. And so, as a matter of fact, distort truth, distort things that existential truth that you can see. It's like the old philosophers that said everything was an illusion. I think it was David Hume actually that went up and kicked a rock with his foot and said, thus proving false the thesis of Dr. Berkeley. When in fact reality is not real, it is and then becomes an illusion, and the illusion becomes dangerous and destructive, because reality ultimately is Jesus Christ, is the Word of God, is the Word through whom all things were made and who made took flesh and dwells among us. We cannot know reality without Him. Any attempt to know reality without the Son is an illusion and a deception. That doesn't mean, as it did in the medieval age, that every single science must somehow or other find its way back into the science of theology. But it does mean that all human knowledge and advancement cannot be in antipathy toward, cannot be over and against the truth of revelation, the truth of the living God, the presence of the living God among us. It's interesting when we think, for instance, that the presence of Jesus Christ among us and within us is the source of knowledge and the source of truth and the source of illumination, of enlightenment. Our tabernacles, the Blessed Sacrament and the tabernacles, are the anchors of reality in the midst of God's people. And when we abandon those, and as we did, I don't know, for so long in the recent years, decide we would hide the living presence where no one could see it or no one could find it, out of some kind of bizarre understanding that that you couldn't have a static and an active presence together in the sanctuary of the church, it's ridiculous. It's like saying in a relationship that it isn't constantly involved in activity, it doesn't exist. Well, that's silly. And certainly the person who is in somehow in a posture of rest is no less an active relationship with another person through the inner life that both of those friends or husbands and wives or whatever had. You know? So all of this is the voice in the modern world of the serpent. And all of this is coming over the fence of the sheep gate to dissuade, to deceive, and to lead astray the sheep that belong to the sheep gate, that belong to the shepherd. And so this image then has a powerful dimensionality to it, a powerful message to it, saying that we may not replace faith in Jesus Christ with a secular reality, or we become ourselves thieves and brigands. We have all sorts of politicians carrying around the name Catholic, and yet at the same time advocating the arrogant destruction of human life on some false and silly premise, and saying, oh, well, that is compatible with Catholicism. No, it is not. Because what it is doing, it is usurping the role of the living God. It is Eve in the Garden of Paradise. It is the voice of the serpent that we hear in the woods and the forests and the cities and the countryside of our world. It is that voice of deception, that voice of deceit that says, I can do whatever I want and I will affirm that Jesus affirms this. Find it somewhere. Find where Jesus affirms it. I know, for instance, that one of our congresspersons, you know, is saying, well, it's in St. Augustine. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And I would defy anyone to show where Augustine justifies such bizarre behavior. And Augustine is very complicated and very difficult, and someone with a bachelor's degree and a minor in theology does not know St. Augustine. It took Cornelius Jansons 5 years to go plow through the works of Augustine to come up with a sense, rightly or wrongly, that he understood something of what he was talking about. So Augustine is not a proof text, and Augustine is not someone who defies the living God. He is not someone who denies Jesus Christ and the authority of God over the things of the earth, over the things that he has created. And then when Jesus has said this, and when he has led them into that understanding, because while we don't know what a sheep gate is, and we don't have shepherds and all of that anymore, they did. And so they knew immediately what he was talking about. It was imagery that was part of their world and part of their culture. If we are to interpret this into the modern age, perhaps we would want to use different imagery, but we would have to say the same thing. And basically the same thing is that the whole structure of reality is contained in Jesus Christ, and without him we cannot approach it, we cannot know it. We can know it without knowing we know him, but we cannot defy and deny him and know it, because then it becomes simply an illusion, something that is not real except in our own minds, and something which we can then strive to use modern technological advancements to try and perpetrate, try and defend and spread throughout the consciousness of modern humanity. So if that is what Jesus is saying, that's kind of what he is saying, that that anyone who comes in except through him into the ultimate structures of the reality of life is a thief and a brigand. And so we can look around with great sadness and heavy hearts. We can see the media. We can see the politicians. We can see, for instance, the evils of Planned Parenthood and its Hydra existence in so many other ways. We can see all of that. And it is with sadness and disappointment that humanity has so been seduced by the language of the serpent, by the temptations of the serpent, by the cleverness of the serpent, and in so doing has entered the sheep gate and is a thief and a brigand. So Jesus then, after this, told them this parable, but they failed to understand what he meant by telling it to them. So Jesus spoke to them again. I tell you most solemnly, I am the sheep and the gate of the sheepfold. All others who have come are thieves and brigands, and the sheep took no notice of them. I am the gate. Anyone who enters through me will be safe. He will go freely in and out and be sure of finding pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. Therefore, Jesus is saying that those who are truly his sheep, those who truly believe in him and are his disciples, truly, those do not fall victim to the deceit of the serpent. They do not fall victim to the thieves and the brigands, but they hear the voice of the Savior and they follow it. And in so doing, they become then the real sheep, the real flock of Jesus Christ. And the rest of it is deceit and deception. So that what happens then when those who come carrying the mantle of Catholicism into the world and speak those things which are of the powers of darkness, they are the thieves and the brigands. And those who truly love the Lord and strive to follow him in their lives know and hear the falsehood of the sirens of secularism as they, in some way, shape, or form, try to entice, to seduce, and to woo those who are the disciples of Christ. That is why, with all of the secular world around us, probably the most dangerous of all are the ones who are inside the sheep gate, inside the fold with us, those of our own who have betrayed us, those of our own who have betrayed the living God, and those of our own who sing with the voice of the sirens to seduce humanity into false gods, into idolatry, and into blasphemous existence. These things are scriptural terms. They have meaning, and they are not just simply archaic words that no longer have meaning in the modern world. They are with us everywhere. And the music that they make and the voice with which they sing through the cultures of our ages, those are the voices, therefore, that are of thieves and the brigands, of the serpent in the garden. They are the deceivers. They are the ones who deny the truth of the revelation of the living God through the Logos, through the Word. We must pray constantly for strength. We must pray constantly for a deepening of our faith. There is not one of us whose faith could not burrow deeper into our human soul, into our heart, into our mind, into the spirits of our existence. Each of us must be on that journey to move more completely and more deeply into the realization of the very thing that Jesus is talking about in this gospel today, that we must recognize the thieves and the brigands, not in anger, not necessarily to physically attack or in any way, but to know who they are. For the greatest destructions of the seducers of our age is to call them by name, to know who they are, to know the fallacy of what they say. And in the quietness of our own lives, and in our own families, in our own communities, in our own churches, in our own parts of the world, be able simply to say, I will not be seduced by the voice of the serpent in the modern world. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I believe in the Word, and I believe what the world has revealed to us of word has revealed to us concerning the person and the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, once again, we must say and we must repeat, Jesus Christ is the ultimate structure of reality. It is through him that all things came to be that are, and without him nothing has come to be. If we are to know, therefore, everything that is, we can only know it through the Son. Because the goal of knowing, the goal of searching, and so forth, is to reach the Father. And in philosophical terms, to encounter being itself. We cannot do that. That is impossible for us unless we come through the Son. Otherwise, we end up the victims of the holy mountains. We end up the victims of proximity to the ark. We look upon that which we cannot see, and self-destruction for society. That self-destruction is clear. It is a form of nihilism. It is a way in which we destroy societies and human persons. And that is the goal of the thieves and the brigands. That is the goal of the serpent. That is the goal of seduction. Come to me, they say, and what we will find is death and emptiness, destruction. Looming before us and glaring at us will become the abyss, the great primordial saltwater sea, the chaos out of which humanity has been drawn by the goodness and the mercy and the wonder of God. Let us be believers, and let us hear the word of God and live it.
Foundations in Faith is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Foundations in Faith are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni,